You're listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century, the podcast from Unity San Francisco that explores modern spiritual teachings and provides insight into how to apply them in your life. This is Reverend Ken Daigle. Today's talk was recorded live at Unity San Francisco. Enjoy.
We've been through this journey over this week, these weeks of lighting the candles, we lit the first week for faith in the tradition of Unity. We light the candle for faith. And that is because out of the darkness, out of that seeming void of hopelessness, we lean into hope. And I talked to you about what Harvey Milk talked about. You gotta give them hope. We all need hope and able to survive everything that happens in our lives and to us in our lives. And faith that knowing that no matter what is going on, no matter what the diagnosis, right? No matter what the situation at work is, no matter what the things that are happening in our family and in our lives, there is always the possibility that we can turn this into something else. And faith is that assurance of things we cannot see, but know are true. And faith is planting seeds in the ground. Faith is the actual planting, going, I know that I'm going to place this here and that miracles are going to happen because of it. In the second week, then, we lit the candle for peace. And peace is absolutely essential. Is absolutely essential because if we plant that seed and then stomp all over that ground and get into a frenzy and start tearing up the garden all over again, we've just destroyed the faith we've said and claimed. So peace, and this is my largest lesson some days, is to sit still and know. Peace is the practicing of care, of assurance that it will happen as it's supposed to happen, when it's supposed to happen. And with my little ones, I can see them going, I want this. I want it now. I want it now. Papa, 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 papa. And how many of us do that? Right? We may not be 7 or 10 anymore, but we are still that little kid inside is going, I want it, I want it. When can I have it? I want to be famous. I want those to be successful. I want a partner, rather than sitting with ourselves and not trampling ground. Peace protects the ground. Peace protects the soil we have nurtured and cared for and fed all these years so that the seed is ripe. And that brings us to today. Today, we're going to talk about love. And as you have heard, there's lots of songs. All you need is love. Love is a many splendor thing. Love changes everything. Oh, love lifts us up where we belong, right? All the different songs about love lead us to many things. And then in spiritual world, we go, well, God is love. God is absolute love, you know? And love casts out fear, and love is patient, and all the sayings that people say to you about what love is. But it goes even deeper, because if you look at the scriptures of Jesus, who is a great Jew, by the way. He was the best Jew ever, right? And because he was willing to look at it, to talk about it, and that is great thing about the Torah and all of my Jewish friends who study scriptures, is they actually look at what the scriptures say. So I want to apply that Jewish trait of studying, of questioning, of trying to find the meaning in the scriptures by looking at the words of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. It says, I tell you to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. And I can see your faces, you know. I know what you're thinking about this scripture, right? It's like, but it doesn't stop there. It says, love the Lord your God with your whole self and your whole spirit. and love your neighbor as yourself. I always love that because it assumes that you love yourself, right? And we know psychologically, a lot of us have a lot of work to do on that, but you know, that is part of the journey we have here in spirit, in truth, in understanding just how to love ourselves and what actually love means. But it goes on, love one another as I have loved you. Whew. Love one another. And that doesn't, for me, mean being a doormat. It doesn't mean that I lay down my needs for yours, but to extend myself from my ample supply. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, right, sweetie? My husband and I and our family had a little ceremony back there in front of the window we donated to Unity San Francisco. It has the names of all our kids and ourselves on the window, and it's a special spot for us. And the Catholic priest who baptized my children and is my husband's spiritual pastor, because my husband is here with us right now and a great asset to me and to our community here, and he belongs to Unity, and he also belongs to a Catholic parish, Most Holy Redeemer, which is the most progressive Catholic parish I have ever walked into in my life. It is amazing. So the priest came over here. The Catholic Church has decided that it's okay to bless gay marriages. Now, unfortunately, they don't allow it to happen in their church. So that priest, being the most amazing messenger and harbinger of love, came over here and he sat back in that chair and watched our music team, and he was just blown away by what we do. They don't have a screen like this at the Catholic Church. They have an altar and a and all kinds of other things, but he was so delighted. And he stood there and he read from this scripture. It's a roundabout way of getting there, but he read from this scripture, and I heard it again for the first time. Love is patient. Love is kind. And it reminded me of what our good friend Paul Hasselbeck said to me all the time. You will never regret being kind. Ever regret being kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Okay, I'm going to say that one again. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes. And this one, my favorite. Always perseveres. Always perseveres. So we're going to come back to this one, the one that made you all frown. I tell you to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. And I always get this question, and I always have asked it too. It's like, how is that possible? Love my enemies, the ones who are out to get me. Love the ones who have done those horrible things to me, who hurt the ones I loved so deeply. And what this is the problem with is literally a problem of language. Because in English, we have one word, love. But in Greek, which these gospels were all written in, there are actually four words for love. There are four distinct, different words for love. And so I wanted to share them with you because I think it will help you understand what we're being called to do. It's not to have emotions for love. It's to do something different. So the four Greek words for love are eros, passionate, embodied love. Boy, we like that one, right? We do love us some of that romantic, erotic, passionate love because we are human beings in this body. We are spiritual beings in a human body. But the human body designed by God, by the divine, has sensual feelings. And we express those sensual feelings in erotic love sometimes. And that is a gift of God. But that is a very specific kind of love. And those of us who have been married for a few years know that that doesn't always last like it does when you first light the candle, right? But that it is still a valuable part of our lives. The second is storge, which is familiar love, the love of family, the love that makes sure you take care of the children in your lives, that take care of your parents as they need it, that take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. And that is wonderful kind of needed love, because none of us, not a single one of us, made it through to this point in our lives without having some version. Now, your family may not have been perfect. Mine certainly was absolutely perfect. Not a flaw in my family. I tease you. But I am here and I am who I am because there was enough love to keep me going. And that's the gift. The next form of love that they talk about in Greek is philos, which means brotherly love. It's Philadelphia is named for that kind of love, the city of brotherly love, the chosen tribe. We have philos here. We are a chosen tribe of like-minded people who understand this is what we're here to do and this is how we're here to celebrate. And then the final kind of love that they talk about in Greek is agape love. Unconditional love flowing from divine consciousness, or some people will call it Christ consciousness or Buddha consciousness, whatever you want to call it. It is that heightened consciousness, that knowing that we are all from and as the divine, and that as we move into agape love, things change. And agape love is about service. It's about taking care of others. Agape love isn't about an emotion. Agape love is about actions, about behaviors, about a mindset of care and purpose. That's what we're here to do. So when we look at these sayings again from the consciousness of agape love, it shifts everything. It shifts into what we really could be doing. So when the scripture says, love your enemies, it's not that we're supposed to feel good about them. It's not a feeling of love. It's the action of love. So when your enemy is doing something, the one you perceive is out to get you or has hurt you, is you remember that they are on their journey too, and someone probably hurt them. Hurt people what? Hurt people. And someone did that to them. And so you can, from your heart then, have compassion and go, I am going to break this cycle. I am going to end this cycle of hate and us versus them and move into compassion and choice. To move forward in love and to be kind. You will never regret being kind to the one who seems to be very hostile to you. When you can understand that there is more to be done, not more to be felt, you can let go of your feelings of hurt. You can let go of your feelings of how dare they. You can let go of your feelings of pain and step into something higher. And it takes conscious choice. It is not easy. I'm not pretending it's easy. Jesus wasn't saying that this is easy to do. What he was saying is this is what we're here to do, folks. We are here in this human body, in this human form, in this human choice to express love in the physical world. It's not a theory. It is a practice. Agape love is a practice of love. How do you do that? So let's look at Paul's love is for 1 Corinthians quote again. Love is patient, right? showing self-control. I don't have to react to what you do. I respond with agape love. Love is kindness. That is giving attention, appreciation, encouragement to others. And I'm practicing it with my husband right now. We have a 7-year-old who is the most challenging 7-year-old I've ever had to deal with, right? On multiple levels, but it is where he is. And I have been chosen to parent this child by forces greater than me. And what I'm having to lean into is when he's acting bad, to encourage the sliver of good behavior that he's demonstrating. The minute he can sit still, right? The literal minute, and praise the seconds he can sit still, because that's what I want to create more of. So if we extrapolate that, because it's easy with a 7-year-old, when there's a 47-year-old doing something to you, and to understand that encouraging someone is giving kindness, is encouraging them to grow and to grow into everything they could be. The next one is humility. Damn. Humility, right? I want to think I got this all. I want to think, well, I've studied this. I've been doing this for 15 years. I've been doing this. I should know better. And it's like, there is always more to learn. There is always more to be revealed. And no matter how long we've been walking on this planet, no matter how long we have been in this journey, we need to remember that there is more that we can do and be. Respectfulness. Treating everybody as important people. Whew. Everybody. No exceptions, no exclusions. No exceptions, no exclusions. Because most of the bad behavior that we say we don't like is because people feel disrespected, right? People act badly when they feel disrespected. And it's our job to fill that in. Selflessness. That means meeting the needs of others, right? So yes, that is one of the things we need to do. Meet the needs of others. That's why we have hospitality downstairs. Have you thought about that? Do you think it's just because we're hungry? Hospitality is an act of service here. Is an act of we are giving back. It is part of our tithe to the community. And we feed people purposefully. It is our version of communion. It is our moment to be together with each other and to give freely of our time, our talent, and our treasure. Because it costs money to do that downstairs. It is our time, all the people who cook for us, all the people who spend nights, days planning, putting it all together, that is part of our agape love. Meeting the needs of others, because we all can't think about spiritual things on an empty stomach. It's much harder. Ah, forgiveness. 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 One more time. Forgiveness. It's never done. It is literally ever done. It is a process of constant unfolding. And the more we can forgive others, the more we forgive ourselves. That is what this process is. Honesty. And honesty, often we take to mean, okay, I'm not going to tell a lie. But deception is different than lying, right? We cannot be honest if we are willing to withhold the truth as well. And so sometimes difficult conversations need to be had. It needs to be say very clearly, I do love you and I want to give you what you need, but this isn't working for me. And this is why it doesn't work for me. I'm not saying you can't have what you need, but it's not coming from me. And those are difficult conversations to have. Those are difficult conversations to hold the boundary, to not be the doormat, but to still be in love, in agape love with the other person, to say, this has to be something different for us to continue in this way. And that's okay. It just means honesty is not always easy. And it's kind. We be kind in it. But it is something that we don't like to have those difficult conversations, do we? They're not fun. And I, as you might probably tell, I like to have fun. I do like to have fun. So those are the parameters. And the biggest one of all is commitment, like we talked about, perseverance, grit. Are we willing to look at this list and to commit to practicing a little of them every day, practicing in all the situations that are not easy for us to do, especially the ones that are not easy for us to do, because that's our growing edge. That's how we get better. That's how we make the world a better place. It boils down to this, folks, is that we are here to make the world a better place, right? The Advent journey is about us lighting the candles for faith, for peace, for love. And next week, we tackle joy. Not that any of this is really linear. It's all happening all at once. It's all happening within us constantly, and it's unfolding at every moment. But we break it down just so we can take bite-sized pieces of this, back to the hospitality analogy, and bite-sized pieces into the Advent journey. So we do these things. We plant the seeds of faith. We protect the soil. And love is what cracks open the shell, cracks open that hardened outside of us. Agape love cracks open that casing that we have built up over the years that say, oh, I'm not letting them in. I'm not admitting that I don't know that. I'm not giving them anything because they hurt me 20 years ago. And it cracks open that fake facade and lets the miracle out that is the plant, the little seedling that will turn into the oak tree, that will turn into something that nurtures the whole planet. But unless we are willing to crack open that shell, to practice agape love, it remains an idea only in our heads. It remains something buried deep in our soul and in our heart. But the Advent journey is our opportunity to be different. To be different than we've ever been before, and to let something new happen in us and in the world.
Thanks for listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century. I'm Reverend Ken Daigle. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Unity San Francisco. And learn more about us at unitysf.com. Spiritual Living for the 21st Century is a production of Unity San Francisco.